Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Orley, and I'm broadcasting here from my bright red desk on a very rainy night in New York. And it's cold, too. Wet and cold. May rain. It's supposed to be flowers in May. And I am joined by my friend, Mark.
Mark Wolfe, also in New York City.
And
also under a cloud of rain.
Under a cloud of rain.
And we went from what felt like November yesterday to more like October today.
I know. So it's like schizophrenic weather.
It's supposed to be the 1st of May tomorrow.
I'm like, you know, come on, guys, calm down. We were supposed to be nice. Last week we were running around hot. This week it's cold and you need your winter coat. So, and hopefully Heather will be joining us from out far west and near the river of the Mississippi or wherever. She lives in the Mississippi, right? Some river.
Mississippi, yeah.
Mississippi, in the Mississippi. Banks of the Mississippi.
And Heather, Ann, you're pretty much staying home.
Staying home. I had a little adventure last Friday. It actually is kind of one of those Rubik's Cubes of life thing, you know, where you have a moment in your life and you go, wow. So I don't always sleep with clothes on, right? So it was one of the no-clothes night because it was actually hot last week, and I had underpants on. So I'm in the bathroom, and my assistant comes in because she has keys to the house, and she catches me in the john, and I kind of slept in, and I was in the bathroom. So I'm like, okay, hi, I'll be out in a few minutes. No worries, I'm texting. I'm like, okay, great. So I have cats, which most people know, and on the way into the john, I'd noticed a little pile of vomit. It's hairball season, and, you know, it had chunks in it, you know, so those are the ones you really see. And so I was running down the hallway with the idea of leaping. There's like an open hall in my house, leaping across the hallway because I'm half naked. So my assistant can't see me because it's inappropriate for your assistant to see you naked. And as I leapt across the hallway, my right foot landed in a pile of clear cat vomit. Can't make this stuff up. And it was in my chart. I do a sliding roll on my foot. My right foot and kind of slide to the right and then land on my hands and knees. And I managed to break like a bunch of bones. And there's a ligament called the Lisfranc, which is Napoleon's general recognized as an injury that happened when people fell off their horses and were dragged by their foot. And it's also very common in football injuries. A lot of football players get it. It's a crush injury or a car accident injury. So I get to live in a cast for 8 to 10 weeks after I have surgery, which is in a week or two. So I'm basically, you know, cast bound for the summer. So I figure this is Max's way of getting me to stay home, writing my book, and I'm going to dedicate the book to Max, who helped keep me tied to the table to write the book because my foot is broken and I can't go out. And so, you know, ruins Fire Island. I had Lilydale planned. I have Jimmy Buffett tickets, you know, on Jones Beach. And I'm just looking at this whole summer kind of crashing into a pile of canceled tickets and canceled dates and then the left-hand column going, okay, so you're going to sit at the desk and write, huh? Because you can't do anything else.
No.
So I'm looking at this as the cosmic God saying, okay, girl, we've been talking to you about writing this book. Now do it.
Yeah.
So that's my positive frame on it. And, you know, my metaphysical friends are all like, well, Ann, it means you're supposed to slow down. It means you're supposed to stop moving forward so fast. It means you're maybe supposed to finish some of your projects. Because, of course, cat vomit is a sixth house thing. And that is work, too. You know, so clean up your work. Finish up your projects. And, of course, if I hadn't flown halfway across the air and landed on the thing at moving rapidly, I probably wouldn't have been nearly as bad of a break. But I did a job on it, so. So anyway, so I'm having surgery sometime. I was looking at doctors today and working out insurance details and, you know, forward we go.
You're getting hogtied.
I am hogtied. I got my little crutches. I got a little black bag that I load things in. My assistant made all these food in little baggies so I can microwave them and eat them. I mean, you know, we're being real organized.
And where did you see this in your chart?
Pardon? Oh, it was in my chart, Heather, yeah. Uranus to the minute on my solar arc. And I had seen progressed Mars and Pisces on my moon and Neptune on that, okay? So transiting Neptune on the Mars on the moon. So I thought, well, that's the swimming, you know, and, you know, it's meditation and it's also hidden cat vomit. And then Uranus on my ascendant to the day, right, to the minute, like 50, one was 45, one was 46. So I'm like, well, my birth time's right by solar arc. And then, of course, one of my smart students goes to me, so what were your diurnals for the day, Anne? And, of course, I went down at 10:21, which was Jupiter angular on my ascendant, which is sit down and write. My diurnal was Mars on the ascendant to the minute.
And those wouldn't affect you like this if they weren't happening while you were having these bigger transits.
Right, totally. And I have Pluto on my north node and Jupiter
on
my
south.
Those
quick, short transits.
Yes.
Can you explain diurnals for our audience?
What a diurnal is, it's a really interesting chart. And when you learn astrology and you're in your highly obsessive phase, you check it all the time. And then you get a little older like me and you don't look at it that often until you slip and cat vomit it and break your foot and your student reminds you about it. What you do is every day of the year, every day, today's the 30th, you cast a chart for the date, for the time and the place of your birth, not the date. For today's date, April 30th, so I cast it for 6:02 p.m., Rochester, New York, and it's got for last Friday, and it has Mars on the ascendant. And it's kind of a quick carbiner of what's going to go on, and it's very accurate. You know, like pick some crappy days or some really good days in your life, cast it for your birth time and the city you were born in, and the chart describes the thing. But, of course, those are the transits you had on that day, but it also describes how you react to them. But, obviously, Mars angular brings an accident or brings a Mars kind of thing to you. But it's Mars
and
Libra.
And what I see with those is that often you can't really necessarily use them to prevent something or predict it, but you can often use them because there's just too much information to sort to get all those details.
Yes.
But it's helpful afterwards to use them to understand meaning and to
give it. The metaphysical, right.
Right, to work with it, okay? Like, so this has happened. As you know, you did such a wonderful job there by saying, I've been hogtied.
Yes.
That it's not just about limits. It's about being asked to focus on one thing and having all my distractions taken away.
Right, because I can't go out the door and play.
Right.
Yeah, and I've got Jupiter on the south node in my fifth house of play, so no play for you. Jupiter lives in my sixth house of work, and it rules my midheaven in Sag of publishing and writing. And at the moment of the accident, Jupiter was angular. So it says, Anne, you've been making all this noise about writing books for a while now, and you haven't done it. So we have this lovely summer for you to sit down
to
and write a book.
To work on it.
To write a book. And, of course, a couple people wrote and said, you know, you were talking about doing this, And I'm like, oh, yeah, I never did that either. You know, so I've got this big list now, so I'll be busy. And it's air conditioning, and I'll put on Pandora, and I'll wiggle in my chair. And my sister's going to mail me chair aerobics because she's had me on a, you know, I wanted to be svelte by 60, right? So I've been really exercising. So she's going to mail me a Health Claire plan for chairs. So we'll see. We'll go forward. Yeah. And I can't get in the kitchen to cook because, you know, I can't stand and no weight bearing. So they made little baggies of food for me. So I just go get a baggie and eat the baggie. That's my new plan.
Oh, hon.
I know, but you know what?
Great sympathies.
Yeah, I did a little teary cry, you know, Tuesday morning. I got up, it was raining, it was dark, it was gloomy, and I kind of sat at the table
and
feeling.
And Mercury and Sun have been trining Pluto, this eclipse has been a lot of hard stuff on what we haven't done, what we've lost, what's missing, what we've had to let go of. A lot of Plutonian release work this week.
Totally,
you know,
totally.
Beautiful weather and tornadoes threaten.
Yes, totally.
You know, lovely day, and there's 22 inches of rain in Pensacola.
Yes.
And this heaviness, and I'm feeling so many people that I've heard have been, what have I let go of in my relationship? What have I not accomplished yet? And
what do I have left to do?
And really getting, you know, really moments of deep depression.
Yeah.
You've got a good excuse because you're hogtied. But most people, it's the strangest little triggers.
Yes.
That I'm hearing. And if we can just see the feeling rather than attach a story to it.
Yes.
No, we don't know anything about the future because how we feel this week. But we know how we feel this week. Let's just stay right there.
Yep. And just cry, you know, and then, you know, you kind of go, okay, maybe I need to turn the light on and I'll feel a little better. And I'm sitting here in the dark and I went and turned the light on and I felt a little better. And then like 5 minutes later, my assistant arrived. So I'm like, okay, so I have my little cry now. All right, get on with your life. Go figure out the insurance for your stupid foot operation, you know. And it's good. It's all part of the story. So, yeah, so that's my story. And I had thought, ooh, I got right through that, because I saw Pluto on my north node and Jupiter on my south, and Mars and Uranus squaring my nodal axis. So I thought, this could be pretty big. And then nothing happened, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had my father dying again. He's fine. You know, I'm the one that's hobbled. So
yeah.
Forward, yeah, it's all good. But mm-hmm. I've killed my father off, I don't know, 700, 800 times since I learned astrology, mm-hmm. you know. So, and he's still here. Takes a licking and keep on ticking. So.
Well, yeah, following our parents and waiting for them to die and not die, we realize how often, I mean, what I saw when I looked back after my father died was that when I thought he was going to die the three different times before, were times that I had to let go of some element of our relationship.
Yes.
He was fine.
He was fine.
But he began to shift away or became less available for something or, mm-hmm. you know, there was...
Moved into assisted living, right?
Right.
He didn't die, but he gave up his old life, yeah.
Right. And while working that through, when they actually do die, it's usually the Jupiter transits. There
yes.
is mm-hmm. a sense of, especially if they're older.
Yeah.
How old is your dad?
85, just turned 85 in April on these eclipses.
So he got past his Uranus return.
Got past these eclipses, which are his prenatal, but it moved him into assisted living, right? So he's got a whole new lifestyle now.
Yeah. So
and
that
he actually
the old
seems
life.
To be thriving, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they make it past their Uranus return, which is about 84,
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
often last a nice long time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most of the people in the family are into the 90s, mid-90s. They all, 95, 96, 96. My other grandfather died younger, but he was in his late 80s, but he had optional surgery, which he shouldn't have had
because
his legs hurt. So, but, you know, yeah, I've got long peasant stock, so I'm pretty much, you know, this is a crippling injury if it's not fixed. So, you know, I got another 30 years. I figure I'm going to have to learn how to get it fixed. Mm. So, but yeah, for a lot of us, there was a new moon on Tuesday, and the new moon
mm-hmm.
harbines a beginning, a new start after the eclipses, mm-hmm. and it's in Taurus, so it makes us very aware of what we have. Mercury's right there. And what we don't have. Mercury's right there. And Juno went into Taurus, which what do we want to partner with going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Mm-hmm. Very important.
And we may have planted seeds to something that we don't even notice, and it's not always good. You planted seeds of your book.
Yep.
But maybe I've also heard, you know, I thought it was really interesting that all of this coming out about the NBA and racism.
Yes.
The conversation's really interesting on television right now,
mm-hmm.
bringing up some healthy conversation
mm-hmm.
on racism and moving past it and moving beyond it and where it still is in the culture,
mm-hmm.
thanks to that mess that the guy from the owner of the Clippers put his foot in his mouth
mm-hmm.
and or in other parts in other people's orifices. And his... And when he did that, you know, it's often I see that under an eclipse is an unexpected honesty.
Yes.
Or an unexpected, you know, that truth outs in some clear way.
Yeah, totally. And it was interesting because they had all these people interviewed, and then they go, and then all the people that think it was too tough of a punishment, they don't want to be on TV.
Right.
And I went, okay, so that's an interesting.
We're shifting an awareness.
We're shifting on a level, yeah. We're shifting
mm-hmm.
on a level. Well, I don't think that was right. I don't want you to film me, though, and I don't want to be quoted. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
it's
good.
It makes you aware of the impact, you know. Yeah.
And they've been going back over, and one of the things that I had predicted about this week is we would have to look at some attitude that it was time for us to let go.
Right. Right.
And that's an interesting one.
And they
I also
up the
saw that
the
when we did the astrocartography of the eclipse,
that
the sun moon was exact through the Ohio River Valley where the tornadoes hit.
Oh, okay, cool.
And was on the IC there,
mm-hmm.
and it was on the midheaven through the Bay of Bengal where they think they may have found the missing plane.
Oh, they did. Okay, because they called
and
off the search and. The ocean.
All their sites have been looking at it, and they don't know.
Right.
It's an entirely different place than they've been looking.
Right. Well, the eclipse mm-hmm. should bring it to light because they were like, we're calling off because the eclipse was over the South Indian Ocean, you know, between Africa and Australia where they said it was, and now it's like,
mm-hmm.
I didn't see that. And George Clooney got engaged, for God's sake.
It was through the Bay of Bengal, actually, that it hit, exact.
Yeah, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And George Clooney,
so
get married.
Really interesting that this is.
Pardon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really interesting watching that.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, what have you noticed about it? You've been quiet. Heather and I have been chattering away like a couple of Virgos.
Yeah.
You get to talk too.
Well, I feel like this week really is. I termed it cleaning up the debris.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the trine from Mercury and the Sun to Pluto.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's making peace with whatever changes were brought on.
Mm-hmm.
You had this big grand cross. We've been talking about it coming in,
mm-hmm.
coming in, and now we're on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there comes a trine from Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, okay, new day.
New day, mm-hmm. beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Expanding,
so expanding. Whatever it is, you know, before the grand cross,
mm-hmm.
that was life then, and now it's life now.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's really helpful to do that. That was a good plan.
Yeah. And now the universe is saying, okay, now what's next? They're kind of almost rubbing its hands with a little glee. You ready?
Right.
You know? And I do find a lot. I mean, I know in my client base, a lot of people are making really big decisions about life, relationships,
mm-hmm.
direction,
mm-hmm.
work, living situations, work situations. So it's very much tied to the direction we want to head in. So it's kind of cool. And I'm ready for new adventures, you know. And I'm so happy that the energy is abating a little. It's not nearly as intense as it was, you know.
Yes,
right.
It is. Thank goodness for the Taurus calming down a little bit. Well, we've got Venus going into Aries, and that might amp everything up again.
Right, right. But there's really little fire in the sky, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly
it is.
All the fires kind of calm down. The Mercury.
Except Uranus, and that's still a lot.
Yeah, well, Uranus is, you know, he's just,
right,
just a little troublemaker over there.
That's a long-term thing.
Yeah. We have him for a few more years. So I guess we should put out our number for people to call, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And any other things for the week?
Call?
Huh? Pardon?
Press 1 to raise your hand.
Oh, yeah, press 1 to raise your hand that you want to get asked, you want to have a question or you want to talk to us about something.
Otherwise, we don't know you're there.
Yeah, well, we can see you, but we don't know you want to be called on because sometimes they're just lurking and they don't want to ask questions. And I like this weekend's aspect. I think it's got a lot of interesting stuff in it. So I think that with that moon in Cancer should be kind of fun, too.
Because
mm-hmm. it's a very fertile moon with the Cancer sextiling the
very fertile. Great
time
to be working in the garden.
Yeah, Cancer, the Sun, and Taurus.
And great time to be, if you've got any way of helping out the people, the thousands of people who lost their homes this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a little obsessive weather chaser.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching the tornado paths. And it was a huge outbreak, and there's a lot of people without homes or with damaged homes. So if you see, you know, a way of contributing towards that, the support that the Red Cross is taking good care of them, there are other ways of supporting the ones who lost their homes this weekend. I think we're going to have to get more honest that there is no point in building anything that's not hardened to tornadoes in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
that weather patterns are changing radically,
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, one of the biggest things about the climate change is that storm patterns will intensify.
Mm-hmm.
And America goes through, on a good year, about 1,000 to 1,200 tornadoes a year.
I didn't realize that.
More than any other country.
Wow.
And not all of them huge.
No. Well, many of them are very tiny little ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's a huge difference between the F1, which you've seen in the Hudson Valley a couple of times, and an F4 or an F5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, an F4, there is no foundation left. There is, it's scoured down to the foundation. If the foundation's gone, it's an F5.
Wow.
And they know several of these were F3s. They think a few of them might have been F4s. They're still trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, that's part of the change that this grand square is a real cultural shift. And, you know, we're seeing it and everything from, you know, the hopeful changes that I'm seeing in around gay marriage, the big cultural shifts that we're seeing around this conversation of racism with this new little debacle.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, and I'm hoping that there's been some interesting new reports out about how we can turn the climate change, turn the corner, which may it actually be so, but there's been some interesting new information coming out around that that's hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't just pretend that it's business as usual.
Right. Right.
And what does that mean as a cultural change? When we get through this Uranus-Pluto square, I think there's going to be a real, you know, shift in how we build, where we plant, what we do in response.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we're going to really find that there's huge energetic shifts, you know, as we move forward through. Because we're still at two more squares of the Uranus-Pluto. And that really was when the civil rights and the women's rights and the gay pride started back in the 60s. So it is a time of huge cultural change, and it's also a time for each of us in our own personal life, because we're having that cross to say, hey, you know what, I'm this far along in my life. What's important to me in the future? What do I really want to do? What's my vision? And we have to honor what that is, because we each have our own, and we each have our own purpose that we're here for. You know, we incarnated, there's only one of you, never again repeated, that same planetary combination with that same environment. And, you know, you're here for a reason. So what's your purpose? Why are you here? And I think if we can really focus on that, that vision of what our life should be, at least the parts we know about, and kind of head towards that, this is a great time to do that. So it's great. So it's like, woohoo, woohoo. So we have a call. We have two callers. One didn't raise their hand.
Great.
But the other one did. So we'll call on the one that raised their hand. And if the person who called and didn't raise their hand presses 1, 585-613, we'll call on you too. Okay, so here we go to 928-380. You are on the air. Can we help you?
Hi.
Hi, 928-380. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My name's Holly, and my birth date is 12/24/1970.
Okay.
And 5:45 a.m. in Morristown, New Jersey, Morris County.
Or instead of middle.
And a birthday and a Christmas baby.
Yeah.
And that's why you're named after a bush. With red berries on it. It's very cute. So, Holly, what's your question?
So, Holly, we have you Capricorn, Moon, and Scorpio, Sag rising.
That's great. It's been a pretty rough winter, and I've spent a lot of time sort of looking at myself, and things have been lightening up in these last few weeks for me. And
wonderful.
Sort of like, so starting new, I guess I'm interested in like romance, because I've started a new relationship. It feels like I'm starting a new relationship, and that feels really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like really good.
Well, your progressed moon's going through your seventh house, so the whole concept of what is a new relationship and that you're getting ready for one. Pluto's been sitting on your Mercury all winter, and it's, you know, that's no fun. That's depressing. That's deeply introspective. And Pluto has been sextiling, and sextile is a nice aspect, but from the Lord of Death and Rebirth is still a kiss from the Lord of Death and Rebirth. And it's been sextiling your Moon, your Mars, and kind of stirring up lots of issues in your life for memory old, but that may be exactly what you needed to do to clear the ground for a new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what
and that you had
good.
To go through
yeah,
that
in, like.
Introspective clearing.
Cool.
So it looks good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Your progressed moon in Gemini for the next 5 months would say to me, you know, you tend to get a little heavy, Capricorn, Moon, and Scorpio that you are, and that if you can keep it light and not playful so much, but exploratory and not get heavily attached and just enjoy yourself in the moment with this new relationship for 5 months while your progressed moon is in Gemini. When your progressed moon goes into Cancer, you'll be ready to sort it out and decide, you know, are we in, are we out? you know, what is this? And take it to a deeper level. But it may be powerful for you because you're breaking a lot of old emotional habits that run on the mother's side of the family.
And
with your moon conjunct Venus and Mars on either side in Scorpio. And instead of living in the ghosts or in the habits or the fears or the concerns that run on from some old wounding on that side, this may be the first time you're in the present moment with a relationship and able to give the person, you know, clear feedback that's working, that's not, and give them a chance to learn how to work with you and for you to learn how to work with them. Does that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense. It's like totally in line with how I've been feeling and just looking at things right now. That's pretty exciting. Yeah, that's why it feels so good, because it feels like it's coming from a new place.
A new perspective,
a different perspective, not relating to the wounded child anymore.
And also with the Moon in Gemini, Moon in Gemini is that playful energy, and it also is not committing. Okay, so they may not commit, or they may be, well, maybe you, maybe not. I don't know if I want anything. So you just go, okay, fine. Well, let's just get together and hang out. Or you may be, I don't know that I want to commit. So you have that Venus Saturn.
See who you are and see who they are.
Yeah, Venus Saturn opposition is going to be stimulated one more time as Saturn, after Saturn stations at 16 in July. And, you know, the whole thing with Venus Saturn, we always have to ask for what we want, what our value is.
Right.
And for you, it's about direction and what's important to you. So it's really pivotal time for you. And, you know, play with it. Have fun. And know that you're really deeply changing, because Mercury not only rules your partner, 7th house, it rules your direction in life and your Pluto. Mm-hmm. So Pluto on your Mercury is a profound change. Going to go back in station on that in September. So you still have a little bit more to dig out and understand about your patterns. But
that to
grand
get back
trine,
into that old place, it goes like, oh, there the ghosts
there
are, but
the
I don't have to
again.
Go there again.
Yeah, but they're fun ghosts. You know, if you let them be fun, and you think back on what was going on in your life when you were 10, 11, because that was a really pivotal time, this is really for you to get back in touch with Playful Holly before you got serious. Not that there's anything wrong with being serious, because your chart naturally is serious, but it's about allowing...
That's what I came here to do.
...the fun part to come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
Mark, what
so
do you
we're
see?
Definitely ready to have fun.
Yeah. Play Cyndi Lauper's song. Girls want to have fun.
You also you have Uranus at 13 Libra, so that's what that was like your antenna to this grand cross that we just had, and it gives you your moment of Uranus opposition, which we always enjoy seeing in a chart because it's a lot of jail card, you know. There's a feeling that you can kind of take off and do what you want to do. So you can feel a lightness right now. But you go into it with the stress of the Grand Cross. So you should probably be feeling a sense of lightness this week. But you got past kind of a danger point, and in fact you did. And now you can do some more exploring and see where you can go with things and give yourself permission to do a lot of stuff.
Right.
That's great.
It looks good.
Very
it looks
cool.
like you're going to have a lot of fun. So, and I do think that, you know, a lot of times when you've gone through some really tough transits like you've gone through, you kind of think, is it really over? Can I be happy? And the answer is yes. Go for it. You can be happy.
Right.
Nothing's going to come back and whack you on the head. A little deepness in September when Mercury and Pluto meet up one more time. But you've already gone through the consciousness part, so now it's really just the implementing the change that's needed and learning how to vocalize what you want, which is a little hard for you. But you're working on it. Mercury square Uranus,
exactly.
You're having breakthroughs, so that's good.
Yeah, look for the breakthroughs and give yourself permission for all kinds of stuff.
Cool. Very cool. And the British lady said
so
we have...
Yeah.
You're very welcome. Good luck,
You're
Holly.
Welcome.
Keep us posted.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. The British lady said 20 seconds left. Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk here in New York, rainy New York.
Heather Owen Robbins from Minnesota. And
Mark Wolfs in New York. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah, and feel free to book readings with any of us if you want more in-depth coverage of stuff in your chart. Take care. We'll talk to you all next week, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye now.